For WKNO News, I'm Christopher Blank. Throughout its history, Memphis's Overton Park has been a place you could go to find serenity one day and controversy the next. It's a contradiction that shows up several times in a new book called Overton Park, A People's History. It's by Brooks Lamb, a conservation projects manager for rural lands at the Land Trust for Tennessee. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Christopher. I appreciate you having me.
Brooks, in terms of just what's out there, what makes Overton Park special?
Sure. I think it's a variety of things. Overton Park is not your typical park. It's not a place solely for escaping the chaos of the city, as Overton Park was designed in 1901 to enable people to do those things. I think of it more perhaps as a community gathering place, a place for social activism, to gain an education. It's a place to recreate. It's all of these different things combined into one, which I think does add to the vibrancy of the place, because you may be there for one reason. The person you just walked past may be there for another, yet you're all in the same place sharing in that holistically.
You discovered the park while you were a student at Rhodes College, and then you became an intern for the Overton Park Conservancy. You sort of stepped into the most recent controversy over parkland when you were there, the battle with the Memphis Zoo over parking on the greensward. Construction on new parking, by the way, starts this summer. Why are people so passionate about Overton Park?
We have so many different people who grew up playing in the park, who gave speeches in the park, who helped integrate the park. And they did that through spending time there, and they felt this duty, I think, to serve the place. And so I think that's why there can be tension at times between different institutions about how we best serve as stewards of the park.
So the Overton Park story is also a real survivor story. There were many years, about 15 years, from the 1950s to the 1970s, where the park was essentially going to be paved over for I-40, straight through the middle of the city. So before the Overton Park Conservancy, there was the Citizens to Preserve Overton Park. Tell us a little bit about that fight. This was a big fight with the federal government.
This is often thought of as something that was reconciled because of a Supreme Court decision. But it really took about two decades of going to public meetings about drawing up plans for the interstate, about fighting against a transportation lobby that was just visceral at times in
right.
their...
And the trucking lobby as well.
Yes, exactly.
Wanted a shortcut for trucks.
That's
to
exactly
get
right. So the trucking industry was... at times compared the people who were trying to preserve Overton Park to those who clamored for the head of Jesus. And they actually put that in writing in a newsletter that sent out all over the country. So it got really, really vitriolic at times.
And that case, Citizens to Preserve Overton Park versus Volpe, John Volpe was the Secretary of Transportation at the time, became a landmark case for other parks across the country.
That's exactly right, yes. So the decision relied mainly on two pieces of legislation. One was the Federal Highway Act. It also relied on NEPA, which is an important piece of legislation. It's often dubbed the Magna Carta of environmental legislation because it requires federal agencies to be extremely transparent in how their actions will affect the environment. And so it was really the first time that this piece of legislation was used. So it does set the tone for how a lot of activists and people who are trying to protect the earth, how they use that legislation moving forward.
One of the things that you note in your book is that almost an entire generation of children grew up thinking that Overton Park could at some point be paved over, and that in some ways affected everything that happened in Midtown almost throughout the 80s and 90s. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. And, you know, you touch on it is a whole generation of children who see the park in that way. It's also an entire generation of elected officials and community leaders who are thinking, why would we spend money on a place to try to enhance it or even just sustain it if we know it's going to be paved over in the matter of a few years? Ironically, after the biggest win in the park's history in the 1971 Supreme Court case, it starts to dwindle in its popularity. You know, there are what some refer to as strange activities that start occurring in the park. You know, there's prostitution, there's lots of public drinking. So it does become this less vibrant institution. But throughout that, there are people who remain committed to the park and continue to care for it. And I argue in the book that it was that sustained love and affection for this place, even in years when it might not have been as easy to love the park, that helped lead to its renaissance in the early 2000s.
as a writer, it might be difficult to write about a place like Overton Park because it's constantly changing. The park right now is about to lose two of its longtime institutions, the College of Arts and the Brooks Museum. What concerns you about the future of Overton Park?
So we have a place that has existed for more than 100 years. Any place that is that old is not going to remain static. And we see throughout the park's history that sometimes change can be wonderful. So I think it is concerning that the Brooks Museum and the Memphis College of Art are leaving. But I think we can look at our past and say, hey, this hurts right now, but we might have an opportunity to add something else to this space that can help change the park in a new way and make it an even more eclectic and exciting place.
Brooks Lamb is author of the new book, Overton Park, A People's History. You can find it at local bookstores, Burks and Novel, or online at brookslamb.com. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Christopher.
This is WKNO News.